Amen. Take a seat. Well, happy Reformation Wednesday. Yes. Or Halloween. So, hey, one quick announcement for men. Hopeway Men's Night coming out this Friday. Paintball and pizza. What a combo. Go to grow.hope.edu. Deadline is tomorrow. Pray with me. Jesus, it was you who said, if we who are evil love to give good gifts to our children, how much more does your Heavenly Father love to give his Holy Spirit to those who ask? So God, we're asking for your Holy Spirit to be among us today. It already is through the singing, but now in the preaching of your word. Have your way. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hey, I want to teach you a Greek word today. It's a Greek word that's used throughout the Gospel of Mark, so it's an important word for us. The Greek word is ekousias. Ekousias. Say it with me. Ekousias. Very, very good. Now, it's an important word for the Gospel of Mark because it points to the identity and position of Jesus. And not only Jesus, but this word ekousias points to the identity and position of all those who follow Jesus. So we're going to look at that word ekousias today. Open your Bibles up to Mark chapter 2, 813 in your pew Bibles or your smartphones, whatever. All right. Mark chapter 2, we're going to read verses 1 through 12. I love to hear those pages turning. Hear the word of the Lord. When he, Jesus, returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. So many gathered around there was no longer room for them, not even in front of the door, for he, Jesus, was speaking the word to them. Then some people came bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. And when they could not bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him, and after having dug through it, they let down the mat on which the paralytic lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes who were sitting there questioned in their hearts, "Why does this fellow speak in this way? It is blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" At once Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were discussing these questions among themselves, and he said to them, Why do you raise such questions in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven," or to say, "Stand up and take your mat and walk"? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has ekousias, authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, stand up, take your mat, and go to your home." And he stood up, and immediately he took the mat, went out before all of them, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Ekousias, authority. This Greek word combines two ideas, the idea of right and the idea of might, meaning the one who has this authority, it's authority that's been given to them, that it's been placed on them. It's a legitimate authority. It's authority that they did not take or steal or co-op. It's been given to them. And not only is this authority legitimate, but it is backed up with legitimate power. We see this word used by Mark three times in the opening pages of his gospel. The first time it's used is when Jesus is teaching, and the people are taken back by his authority to interpret or teach the word of God correctly. Next, it's used where Jesus has the authority to cast out a demon out of a man that he encounters in a synagogue. And the third time it's used is today in our scripture text. Put your finger on verse 10 if you still have your Bibles open. And it says, Jesus here is talking to the scribes because they've been questioning his authority. And he says to them, but so that you may know that the Son of Man has ekklesias, authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, stand up, take your mat, and go to your home. Ekklesias. Ekklesias. Why does Mark spend so much time highlighting Jesus' authority? Well, he does it because Jesus is the one who has the authority over all things. We see this because Mark continues to expand the vision or the scope of Jesus' authority as he continues through the pages of his gospel. We find in chapter 4, Jesus has authority now over nature to calm the winds and the storm. He goes on in chapter 5 that Jesus has authority, ekklesias, over death when he raises Jairus' daughter from the dead. And then the climax at the end of Mark's gospel, that Jesus has ekklesias, authority, even over the devil and all the kingdom of darkness in his death and through his resurrection. Ekklesias, authority. Why is Mark continuing to highlight Jesus' authority? Well, he's doing it because there is only one who has that kind of authority, that kind of universal authority, the one who has all-encompassing authority over all things. And that person is the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who was coming to usher in a new era where God's reign would be experienced here on earth as it is in heaven. And Mark is making it very clear that Jesus is that one, the Messiah, the one who John the Baptist announced, the one who God the Father confirmed at baptism, the one who even the demons of hell recognize and bear testimony to. And now in our text this morning, that even Jesus himself claims to be. And he does it in a really rabbinic way. Open up your Bibles again to that verse in chapter 2, verse 10. This is really cool, so pay attention to this because I love it, how Jesus responds. He's talking to the scribes. Now, these are the religious experts, and they're questioning his authority and saying nobody can forgive sins but only God. Here's Jesus' response. But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, stand up, take your mat, and go home. Now this word, Son of Man, is a messianic term. Now the scribes, you got to understand, they knew the Hebrew Bible backwards and forward. In fact, they had it memorized. So when Jesus uses the term Son of Man, their minds begin to spin because that's a code word for messianic term. In fact, their minds would have buzzed back to Daniel chapter 7. And this is what Daniel chapter 7 says. Whoop! Okay, they would have had this memorized. In Daniel, the prophet Daniel is talking about the coming Messiah. And he says, in my vision at night, I looked and there before me was one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence and he was given ekklesias, authority, glory, sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshiped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. What Jesus was saying to the scribes, you don't have to wonder anymore who I am. I am the Messiah. And Mark 2 leaves the options now to us only to two. You either say that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, or he isn't. There's no middle ground with Jesus. I love what C.S. Lewis says in his book, mere Christianity about this. Lewis writes this: a man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with a man who says he's a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit on him, you can kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about him being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. And neither does Mark. For Mark makes it very clear that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. Now I want to just pause just for a minute because I know I'm at the end of my time. That's a big confession. And I know that there are some of us sitting here right today who are wrestling with that very question of who Jesus is. And I want to say to us who are wrestling with that question, it's okay to wrestle with that question. In fact, Jesus and God never in the scripture rebukes anyone who is honestly seeking after him. In fact, the scripture says that God rewards those who seek after him. So for those of us who are still wrestling with that question, it's okay. But let's be clear that sometime or other in our lives, all of us will have to put an answer to who Jesus is. And there's only two options. He is the Messiah, the Son of God, or he's not. And sometime in our life, all of us will have to answer that question. Mark has already answered it today. But Mark can't answer for you, or you, or you, or me. Only we can do that. So let me close with this prayer on our behalf for those of us who are still asking the question about who Jesus is. Let's pray. God, if you exist, and I don't know if you do, and if you can hear this prayer, and I don't know if you can, I want to tell you that I am an honest seeker after the truth. Show me if Jesus is your Son and the Savior of the world. And if you bring conviction to my mind, I will trust him as my Savior and follow him as my Lord. Amen. Friends, go in peace.